Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
There's such a sweet spirit of God in this house. And there's nothing I love more than the presence of God. We just celebrated the Thanksgiving holiday this week. Everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Amen? Amen? There's many of us, you know, during this time of year, we get together with our family, some with friends. We do Friendsgivings. And let's just be real. We stuffed our face with all sorts of food, right? Turkey, ham, dressing. As the song says, beans, greens, tomatoes, potatoes, lamb, ram, hog, you name it. Desserts, we just stuffed our face. Probably afterwards, we sat around. What did we do? I can't even remember. After we ate. Oh, we ate more. Thanks, Steve. We ate, and then we ate again. And then I laid on their couch, and I didn't really take a nap, but I felt like I wanted to take a nap. And so probably a lot of us watched some football. Yeah, we watched some football. We had the Bears on. That's what it was. We watched the Bears and the Lions, and then we just kind of chilled. And how many took a nap? Just be real. That's less than I thought, unless we got liars in the church. Come on, just throw your hand up. You took a nap. Just be real. Okay, more hands went up. I see. Okay, so we took naps. But here's what I want to say. Whether you had all sorts of family and friends over or not, whether you had a home-cooked meal or maybe you had meals prepared by a restaurant, this one thing remains. Thanksgiving is a time that, you know, the world has set aside that we should be able to sit there and reflect on everything we have to be thankful for. But this is what I want to say, and I kind of alluded to this last week with Justin and Cassidy's testimony. I'm a firm believer because of this word that whether it's Thanksgiving, whether it's Christmas, which is coming up, whether it's a birthday, or whether it's any holiday, that should not be the only times or the only days that we reflect on things that we're thankful for. But thankfulness should be a lifestyle that we live, right? We should be living a life of thanksgiving. And I said this scripture last week. I'm going to give it to you again. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, right? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So God tells us in His word right here, His will for our life. You know what it is? Give thanks in all circumstances. Pastor Reed, growing up, he used to preach all the time, and he would make this statement, and it's just become part of what I do when I preach too, because all comes up in the scripture a lot. So what does all mean? All means all. So that means in the good times and in the bad, we have something to be thankful for. Amen? When we're on the mountaintop or we're in the deepest, darkest valley we've ever had to walk through, we still have something to be thankful for. When we have plenty or when we're in need and want, guess what? We still have something even then to be thankful for. Now, I think, you know, the scripture says give thanks in all circumstances, but I think we have the tendency to be thankful in about half of all circumstances. I got one amen. I'll say it again. The scripture says we're to give thanks in all circumstances, but we as a people have the tendency to give thanks in about half of all circumstances. Amen? Okay, so praise the Lord. It's coming up. I just got that brand new 85-inch TV on the wall. It's never looked, the game's never looked better. I watching 8 overtimes of your team lose on a Friday night at midnight never felt so good. Y'all knew I'd bring it up. But guess what? I was thankful they played a good game. They didn't get blown out, right? Georgia Tech, let's go. I had a response. I thought I'd get some booze now. But so you know, we get thankful for when things are going good. Oh, I didn't have to wait in the drive-thru as long. They got me through Starbucks and Chick-fil-A real quick. Praise God, it's going to be a good day. Thank you, Jesus, right? Oh, that food was so good this week. They cooked so good. I'm so thankful that I got to stuff my face and my belly. And, you know, we get thankful in those circumstances. But what happens when we don't get what we want? When things aren't going as good as we think they should be, are we still thankful? What happens at the Thanksgiving gathering when the food tastes bad because that one person can't really cook, but they always bring it acting like they can? Are you thankful that they just tried? They made the effort, right? What happens when good days go bad, happy days turn sad, and people just act mad? Right? Are we still thankful? Do we remain thankful? What happens when our times of abundance turn to times of need? Are we still thankful? I can tell you, for not all people, but for most times, for most people, when things start turning sour, thankfulness a lot of times gets swatted up like a sheet of paper and thrown out the window. Right? Yeah, I had crank windows at one time. Anybody remember crank windows? My 99 Tacoma truck, I drove for 18 years. I drove that truck for 18 years, put 400,000 miles on it. But it had crank windows, and I used to have to lean over the center console because I liked riding with my windows down when I was younger. Now I like just running the heater, the AC. But I used to ride with my windows down, and so I'd roll down this one. But then I'd have to lean over the center console and roll the other one. And then sometimes it start raining, and while I'm driving, I'm having to try to crank the window up. Anybody experience that? I remember Maddie. She probably doesn't remember this, but my niece Maddie, one time she got in that truck, and we were riding down the road, and she looked at the window crank, and she said, "What is that?" And I said, that's what you rolled the window down with. She was astonished. She didn't know. She'd only known power windows. She didn't know you had to manually roll down a window. But I'm thankful I even had that truck. I got to drive that truck for 18 years, 416,000 miles on that thing. And so I'm just thankful I had a truck, even if it had crank windows, right? But I am thankful I got power windows now. I got power windows. But I'll say this again. When things aren't so hunky-dory, we seem to forget about thankfulness. We seem to forget about it. As a matter of fact, what we tend to do is we tend to do the complete opposite of being thankful. When things aren't going good and we find ourselves in some type of need or want or something like that, a bad time, we tend to start to grumble, complain, even pout. I'll admit, sometimes I'm a pouter. Is Amanda in here? I don't know where Amanda went, but she'll testify that sometimes I'm a pouter. I'm a pouter. I get it from my daddy. But that's not what God's word tells us to do. His word tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. And you may say, well, Pastor Andrew, how can we do that? How is it possible to give thanks in all circumstances? Because I've been in some pretty rough circumstances. I believe Paul shares with us that secret. Philippians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to jump around a little bit. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. This is Paul talking to the Philippians, the church. And he says, "Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Right? Verse 12. "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance." Listen, "I have learned the secret." Here's the secret. "I've learned the secret of facing plenty and facing hunger, facing abundance and need." Here's verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Guess what? If you want to remain thankful in all circumstances, give thanks in all circumstances, you got to know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Paul says, listen, I've learned this. In whatever situation I have found myself in, I've learned to be content. And I've learned the secret. There is a secret of facing any and every situation in my life, whether that situation is really, really good or whether that situation in that season is really, really bad. I know the secret to not being a complainer. I know the secret to not being a grumbler. I know the secret to not being a pouter. I know how to remain content, and I know how to remain thankful. And here's the secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the secret. The secret to living a content life and being thankful is found in a Christ-centered life. If you lose focus of Christ and you get focused on situation or circumstance, you're not going to remain thankful in every circumstance. But if you have a Christ-centered life, you can remain thankful. You can remain content, knowing that it is in it's Christ in you, the hope of glory that gets you through every situation. Now, I believe that this is the inspired word of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit moved upon holy men to write what is in this book. And so I believe Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to give us this divine revelation right here on how to deal with every situation and how to keep our focus on Christ, from who we draw strength. But I also believe that Paul was actually speaking from the depths of experience, the depths of his heart and soul and mind, knowing and remembering the many, many things that he's been through, both good and bad, in his life. And so he makes this statement, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When he says that, he says it from a place that is praising God for his persevering power. He's preserved me through it all, right? Listen, if you study the life and the writings of Paul, which is most of this New Testament, you're going to find this constant. Paul was always giving thanks to God. He was always giving thanks to God. Whether he's traveling by land or sea, he's giving thanks to God. If he's shipwrecked on an island with heathen, he's still giving thanks to God. If he's writing because he's chained up on a prison floor for preaching the gospel, he's still giving thanks to God. He's giving thanks to God in every circumstance, in every situation. And that's why he says, look, I've been shipwrecked. I've been stoned. They tried to kill me with stones. I've been whipped. I've been beaten. I've been in prison for just doing what is right. There's some unfair things that's happened to me, but there's some really, really good things, some gracious things, some merciful things that's happened to me. But whether I was in that really good season or whether I was in the prison cell on the dirty prison floor, I was still giving thanks to God because I know he saw me through all those things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's brought me through, and he'll bring me through again. So Paul had this revelation, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So guess what? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Why? Because my God is bigger. And because my God is bigger, I'm just going to go ahead, whatever I'm facing, I'm going to go ahead and praise him. I'm all going to go ahead and give him thanks for bringing me out and through this situation, this circumstance. I'm going to praise him when I got money in the bank, and I'm going to praise him when the check's going to bounce, right? I'm going to praise him when my cup seems to be running over and the saucer I'm drinking from it, right? But I'm going to praise him when the cup seems bone dry. And in the midst of my struggle, I'll sing that old song. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Anybody remember that? Bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. I lift it up. I can't remember the rest. I was going good. Okay. I'm talking about giving thanks in all circumstances. How is that possible? Through Christ who strengthens you to do all things. Through Christ, okay? And if we're going to focus and have a heart that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, if we're going to have a Christ-centered life, I believe that all begins and it all ends with a heart of worship. So that was all my introduction to get to what I really want to talk about today. It all begins and it all ends with a heart of worship towards God. So briefly, I want to go over another story from the Bible. I want to talk about someone who praised God and worship God in what seems like to me a time of abundance in her life, but not too far in the distant past. It was a very difficult time in her life, a time of great loss and grief. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. John 12, 1 through 4. This is what it says. Then 6 days before the Passover came, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead. I love that. He had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Okay, this is Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Everybody remember that story? Lazarus come forth. He come forth with his grave clothes on. Okay, verse 2. There they made him a supper in Bethany at this house. Okay, and Martha served. She was a sister of Lazarus. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him, with Jesus. He was sitting at the table eating with Jesus at this moment, right? Okay, he had been dead, been raised from dead. Now he's sitting at the table eating, just like we did this past Thursday. Then took Mary, this is Lazarus' other sister Mary, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now in this account, Jesus has come, in the Gospel of John right here, Jesus has come back to Bethany, this town, where Lazarus and Martha and Mary lived. And so this was the same town that not too long ago, Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth, right? And Lazarus was raised from the dead. Now, if you go and read this account in Matthew, it actually tells us that they're at the house of someone called Simon the leper. They're at the house of Simon the leper, but the cool thing about that is Simon was no longer a leper, right? Because, you know why? Because Jesus had healed him. Jesus had healed Simon the leper. So here at this table in this house in Bethany, you got a man that was healed from leprosy, a man that was outcasted, ostracized by the community, made to stay outside the city walls, right? And when anybody came close, he had to say, unclean, unclean, because leprosy was very contagious and they didn't want to spread it. So he was just ostracized, but Jesus heals this man and now he's made, restored and made whole, and he's sitting at this table at his house. And then across from him, you've got Lazarus, who not too long ago was dead for 4 days, right? And then Jesus came and called him by name. Can you imagine the stories and the conversations that were going on at that table? I would have loved to have been there, right? Lazarus is like, yeah, so I've been walking around in paradise for like 4 days, and all of a sudden there was this voice that sounded like thunder calling my name. The next thing I know, I'm back in my body, I'm wrapped in gray clothes, and I'm floating out of the tomb. I'm alive again, right? Needless to say, this house and the people in it had a lot to be thankful for. They had a lot to be thankful for. And as this is taking place, they're sitting around this table and they're eating and they're probably telling these stories of what the great things that Jesus has done. And all of a sudden, here comes Mary, the sister of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. And it says that she takes a pound of ointment called spikenard, right? That was very costly. And from a heart of worship and thanksgiving and recognition of who Jesus was and is, she begins to anoint the feet of Jesus with this oil, and then she begins to wipe his feet with her hair. And there's 3 points I want to make to you about Mary, the woman who poured her oil in worship on Jesus. Here's number one. True worship does cost you something. Okay? True worship does cost you something. Now, the spikenard oil that is mentioned right here, the writer, the Gospel of John the writer, he wants to make sure that he mentions it's very costly. If you go and you translate it, you know, it's hard to do that, but it's estimated that pound of oil spikenard translated from their economy to our economy today would be equal or worth to between $10,000 and $12,000, which was 300 days worth of labor for them. 300 days worth of labor. Okay? So there was no question this oil that Mary poured out on the feet of Jesus was of high value. Can I get an amen? It was a bottle worth $10,000 to $12,000. I'd say it's pretty costly. Mary had a lot to be thankful for. As I said, her brother Lazarus had been raised from the dead. And obviously, she's not too strapped down in monetary means, and she has this expensive oil at her disposal. But in the midst of her blessing, in the midst of her abundance, she did not lose focus on the one who she knew had blessed her. Right? In the midst of what seemed like impassable paths to cross when her brother had died and had been dead for 4 days, she did not lose focus on the one who had made a way where there seemed to be no way, the waymaker. In the midst of her abundance, she came to Jesus, and what she offered, yeah, she poured out oil, but what she was really offering was a heart full of worship and thanksgiving. It was a heart full of thankfulness. There are people, yeah, all the time, I believe this, that in tough times, they tend to lose their praise, they tend to lose their worship, they tend to lose their thanksgiving. But I dare say that there are just as many people who in times of abundance, they lose their praise, they lose their worship, they lose their thankfulness. Why? Because they got their focus on the blessings instead of the one who blessed them. I've seen many people that I've loved and who love the Lord was doing all sorts of things for the kingdom of God, and blessings from God were being poured out all over them, and those same people just as easily lose focus, right, of that Christ-centered life. They lose focus, and they stray or even walk away from the Lord, the very one who opened the windows of heaven over their life. It is very easy, I say this, and I want you to take note of it. It's very easy for us to take for granted what God has blessed us with and not thank Him for it with a heart full of worship and thanksgiving. But that wasn't Mary at this moment. Not Mary right here. She wasn't taking anything for granted at this moment, right? But there was such a mindset and there was such a heart set in Mary at this moment. She said, God has been too good to me for me to sit here and not do anything and give nothing. I have too much to thank Him for in my life not to thank Him for it, right? And so I believe her heart was filled with thanksgiving and her heart was filled with love and adoration and worship as she broke the seal of this expensive oil and she began to pour it out on Jesus' feet. It was at the feet of Jesus not too long ago that she fell weeping, saying, if you had been here, my brother hadn't died. But Jesus said, hey, take me to his tomb. Just take me to his tomb. And now, here she is, her brother lives, is sitting and eating at the table, having conversations, telling stories about this, and now she gladly kneels to her knees at the feet of Jesus again to give him worship in thanksgiving. Let me tell you something. Worship is a part of thanksgiving, and giving thanks is worship. You cannot separate the two. You cannot separate the two. Praise and worship are thanksgiving. So how does that apply to us? How does worship cost me today? Well, apart from the obvious thing, we give in worship, right? We give our tithes and offerings in worship. How does it cost you? That's the obvious thing. But aside from that, some of us, our image is very valuable to us. Our image is what people think. So we got a little pride in our heart. So it may cost you giving up that pride and saying, I don't care what people think anymore. I don't care what people say anymore. I'm just going to worship him anyway. I'm just going to worship him anyway. For some of it may cost us some time out of our busy schedules, right? They say the most valuable thing that we all have in the world is time because we're all running out of it. But are you willing to not be in a hurry when you come into this house or when you go into a prayer closet or if you go into a prayer closet? Are you willing to take time out of your day just to spend time with Him and thank Him and worship Him for who He is? Not just here, but in your home, in your everyday life, throughout the week. Will you give Him time to give Him thanksgiving? True worship will cost you. It'll cost you something, but He is worthy of every last drop of what it costs. That's number one. True worship costs you something. Here's number two. True worship will change an atmosphere. It'll change an atmosphere. It says that as she broke the seal on this ointment and she began to anoint His feet, that the house that they were in was filled with the odor of the ointment. Okay? Heartfelt worship for Jesus is never merely just private. Okay? There's most definitely the private specter of it. Okay? There's a private part, but it's never solely or merely private. It always, heartfelt worship always spills over onto other people in one way or another. Mary's heartfelt, sacrificial, because it was costing her something, grateful, thankful display of worship was for Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in that room was blessed by it. Everybody in that room was blessed by it. It filled the room. The odor filled the room. Let me tell you something. We have the ability to literally change an atmosphere with our worship and with our thanksgiving to God. We can change an atmosphere. But let me say this. Look, grumbling, complaining, and negativity can influence and change an atmosphere in a room you're in as well. Anybody ever been in a room where negativity just took over? Come on, y'all be real with me. You've been in a room and everything's going good and maybe that critical person walked in, started spewing stuff about people and it changed the whole atmosphere of what you were doing. Everybody been a part of that? Is it not just me? Okay, all right. So listen, that can change our atmosphere, but so can our praise and worship and thanksgiving to God. Why? Why can it change an atmosphere? Because John chapter 4 says the Father is looking for those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Why? Because Psalms 22 says that He inhabits the praises of His people. So when we begin to worship, when we enter into His gates with thanksgiving, we come into His courts with praise, and we're coming here thankful and blessing His holy name, the Holy Spirit begins to fill the room and literally change an atmosphere. Let me show you some things that happen when people praise and worship God. This is straight from the scripture. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. This is the walls of Jericho. They literally just marched around the wall silent. 7 days. And on the seventh day, on the seventh time, God said, I want the priest to blow the trumpet, and I just want the people to give a shout of thanksgiving, a shout of praise. And when they did, the thing that separated them from the promised land fell. The wall that divided them fell to the ground through praise and worship. Second Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 18 through 22. And Jehoshaphat, who was king, bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. I know we get loud in here sometimes, but that's scriptural. It's scriptural, right? So they rose early in the morning. They went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, listen what he did. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of His holiness. As they went out before the army, they were saying, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." Now, let me tell you what was happening. they were being ambushed. There were different countries that had come together, different kings, and they said, we're about to go take Jerusalem. We're coming against them. Different armies had come together to take the city. But they began to, in the middle of that, while the enemy was scheming, while the enemy was attacking, the king said, we're just going to praise God. I don't know what else to do. All we can do is praise. And so they gathered the people together, and he gathered, and he said, I want you to sing, and I want you to play, I want you to sing, and we're just going to sing to the beauty and the holiness of God. And they began to praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And listen what happens. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Come on, somebody. Praise and worship will change an atmosphere. Acts 16, verses 25 and 26. But at midnight, the darkest hour, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to him. Listen, you don't realize how many people's listening to what comes out of your mouth. Is it praise and worship and thanksgiving, or is it bickering, complaining, and criticism? Because even those that are bound by the enemy are sitting there hearing the words that are coming out of your mouth. Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Because the power of life and death is in your tongue. And many times we kill our own situations with our own tongue instead of bringing life and speaking life into it. They were in the prison at midnight. They'd been arrested for preaching the gospel. They didn't do anything wrong. They just told people Jesus loved them. Jesus loves you. Now get in prison, chained to a dirty, dusty prison floor, chained to the ground, and here they are. They're singing praise and hymns to God. That's giving thanks in all circumstances, right? And we want to complain. We want to complain. But the prisoners were listening to them. People are listening to you. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's chains. Listen, it says everyone's chains were loosed. Now, listen, this is just three examples in the Word of God on praise, what praise and worship in thanksgiving can do to an atmosphere. It can completely change and transform and shift an atmosphere. Our willingness to praise and worship in here actually sets the atmosphere for here. We first got to be willing to praise and worship here and not put on a show out here. But if it's true worship, it'll shift this atmosphere, right? Your willingness to praise and worship in your home and in your everyday life, it sets the atmosphere for what God wants to do there, even in your workplace. In your home where there may be strife, right? If praise and worship's going on through your heart, and I love playing praise and worship. Elisha does homeschool. We cut on praise and worship music while he's working, or just he loves Forrest Frank. We got worship music. We got Jesus music playing all the time. It sets the atmosphere for our home. Not only does it set the atmosphere, here's the really good news. It breaks down walls. It defeats the armies and the plans and the schemes of the enemy, and it literally shakes the foundations of prisons that hold us back, and it breaks the chains that try to keep people bound. True worship in thanksgiving will shift and change an atmosphere. Here's number three. True worship will always draw criticism. And I put that in parentheses, even within the church. True worship will always draw criticism, even within the church. Go back to our scripture, John 12. This is 4 through 7. But one of his disciples, one of them, who's part of the group, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. You can come. Listen, I'm not reading verse 7 yet. There will always be those who speak out against true worship. But you keep worshiping him anyway. Judas spoke up and said this. It was a false grace. Why was this not given to the sold, given to the poor? He had heart issues. True worship and thanksgiving and love comes from the heart. He didn't understand the true worship that Mary had at that moment, where she was pouring out this costly ointment on the feet of Jesus and wiping his feet with her hair. He didn't understand that. True worship will always draw criticism. Listen to what Jesus said when Judas said that. Verse 7, but Jesus said, let her alone. You know what he's saying? Judas, leave her alone. Come on, there's something powerful about that. People may criticize you, but you worship him anyways. It's like that old song says, I always love CC. I think CC sang that song. CC Winans, am I right? She used to say, you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. You don't know the cost. They don't know all the things that God has done for you. They don't know all the things that Jesus has seen you through. They did not feel what you felt when he come and he wrapped his loving arms around you and he reached down and he picked you up out of the pit and he put your feet on solid ground. That, listen, y'all weren't there. I lived it. I was a young boy. We didn't know how we were going to eat at one point. We didn't have a grocery in our house. True story. Didn't have a grocery in our house. We didn't know what we were going to do. And people started showing up with bags of grocery at our house so we could eat. Not because we called them and asked them. God just sent them. You weren't there. You don't know what he's done for me. They weren't there when Jesus healed you. So they don't know what you felt. They haven't experienced the freedom and the deliverance that you've experienced. They don't know the gratitude and the thankfulness that's in your heart. So they can criticize you. They can say what they want to. They can do what they want to. But I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to get at his feet and I'm going to say, I love you, Lord. And I'm thankful for everything you've done for me. I'm grateful and I worship you, not because of what you've done, but because of who you are. I worship the beauty of your majesty. I worship you, for you are holy and there's none like you. You gave me grace. You gave me love. You gave me acceptance when no one else would. You made a way when no one else could. They don't know the cost of the oil in this alabaster box. They don't know the cost. It's valuable to you. So give it to him. And when we do that, this is the most beautiful thing in the world to me. As we completely abandon the criticisms of people and we truly worship him in spirit and truth, this is what the Lord will do. When the enemy comes, he'll say, leave them alone. If there's anything, I don't know, that's so powerful to me, that Jesus in defense of Mary would say, Judas, leave her alone. Her worship isn't for you. What she's pouring out is not for you. You didn't raise her brother from the dead. You didn't have any say-so in that, but I am the resurrection and I am the life. And let them praise me. Let her worship me. Let her be lavish. Let her pour her heart out. Let her give everything. Let her give everything. Y'all stand to your feet. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of every last drop in our alabaster box. He is worthy of all thanks. And I'm going to give it to him. If you're just in your own way, would you just begin to worship the Lord? Just begin to pour your love on him. Begin to worship him. Just begin to thank him for who he is. Right now, just in your own, for your own life, Not worrying about who's beside you, in front of, behind you. Just worship Him. We worship You, God. We worship You. You are holy. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. The Lord, high and mighty, the lover of my soul, we worship You. Just worship Him as I talk. Just worship Him as I talk. We cannot lose focus in our times of need or in our times of abundance. We must remain thankful, bringing thanksgiving to God in true worship. Just let the fragrance of Your oil fill this room. Just as her ointment filled the room, let the fragrance of Your oil fill the room in worship to God. As you do that, I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm not asking anybody to bow their head, close their eyes. I'm just asking questions as you worship. Are you remaining thankful and giving thanks in all circumstances? That's question number one. Are you remaining thankful? Are you thanking God in the good times and the bad? Have we lost focus of the blesser, the one who blesses, and just been concentrating on the blessings? Just do a heart search. Where is my heart, oh God? Search me, know me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. If I've gotten off focus, let me readjust my eyes. Let me readjust my mind. Let me readjust my heart. Let me know that I can do all things through You, Jesus, who gives me strength. And so while You're bringing me through, I'll worship You. While there's walls in my way, I'll praise the beauty of Your holiness. When the enemy comes in and surrounds me, I still say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Do you know Him? Do you know the beauty of Jesus? Have you ever received Him into your heart? I'm just asking questions for you to ponder. Look at me. Just be real. Be real with yourself. The Lord sees your heart. Just be real. Who wants to live a life of thanksgiving to God in all circumstances? Who wants to do that? Raise your hand. If you don't mean it, don't raise your hand. But he said, I'm looking for those who worship me in spirit and in truth. So just be truthful. That's all I'm asking. Be truthful. If you're not ready, commit to that. That's fine. Let the Lord work on your heart. Ask the Lord, help my heart. He loves real. He loves when we keep it real because He already knows. He wants us to be honest. But who wants to live a life of thanksgiving and worship and praise to God in all circumstances? I know I do. So as I was going over notes for this, I'm like, man, God, how many times have I missed it? Where I just got off focus. I got on focus on what was in front of me and not what was above me. That's why He says, set your minds on things that are above. God, I want to live a life of thanksgiving. If that's you, just come up here. Just come up here. I know this is different. If you don't know Him, come up here. If you need a touch in your life, come up here. You want to live a life of worship and thanksgiving, come up here. And just begin to pour your love on Him. Begin to pour your love on Him. Open up that alabaster box. Just get at His feet. Spend some time with Him. Begin to worship Him. Begin to thank Him. See what God does in your life. Watch the walls fall. Watch the enemy be defeated. Watch the prison doors break up and watch chains break. Watch freedom come. Watch freedom come. Watch freedom come. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. He inhabits your praise. He inhabits your worship. So worship Him in spirit and in truth with thanksgiving.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.